to ride my bicycle. I want to ride my bike. I want to ride my bicycle. I want to ride it where I like.
The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. This is 91.7 FM. WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 367, to be broadcast March 20th, 2024, on WHUS 91.7 FM. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. She's back there somewhere. If you are watching on Facebook Live, feel free to comment. We should be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, please feel free to comment down here below and or send me an email at bicycletalk, the numeral1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week. Fox News is no stranger to the tactic of fear-mongering as a way to stir up its base, but the media's latest misdirection campaign attempts to use fear to attack a surprising new target. Electric bicycles. E-bikes, yeah. So anyway, Fox News had a misleading story running last week entitled "How E-Bikes Are Exploding and Killing People." That was their title. The media giant leaves little room for doubt in just how far they'll go with misdirection to try and scare people away from the fastest-growing form of low-cost, efficient, and effective transportation. Sounds to me like their advertisers must be from the automobile and oil industry. Minor comment. And also on the rant page here, I kind of have to a heartfelt comment out to Peter Sagan, literally. Best of luck. Yes, Peter is undergoing his second heart surgery. Yeah. Jeez. Gets everyone. It sure does. But again, this and more in the show. I'll talk about that a little later. The positive side. The classics. Yes, the classics. The Milan-San Remo. Crazy finish. Did you happen to see it? Oh, my God. Unbelievable. Breakaway, sprint finish, the who's who of cycling. It was good stuff. And, God, why is it so darn long? That is a long, long race. Anyway, talk about that a little bit more in the show. And a new study proves that e-bikes are a darn great idea for the future of humanity. They are the cheapest, greenest transportation option all around. How about that? Well, actually, you know, if you take away the battery, the bicycle is actually the cheapest and greenest transportation option. But that's all right. We'll stick with the e-bike idea because the e-bike idea does put more people on bikes. And I will also be addressing, hopefully, if we have time here today too, why e-bikes actually give you more exercise than pedal bikes do. Not you, because you guys, most of you guys and gals that are out there that are listening to me on this show are probably fairly strong advocates for cycling in general and pretty fit for the most part. But it does bring more people to the sport, so, or to the activity, we can even call it, or to the transportation mode. That's another way of looking at it. So electric bikes will give a lot of people more exercise than pedal bikes. And we'll talk about that a little bit more on the show. Mechanical minute and cycling tips, staying safe on that new e-bike. Yeah, you know, it's like there's a lot of people that are getting into this whole e-bike thing. And they are, they're kind of new to, you know, the idea of getting out on a bicycle. So maybe they haven't been on a bike in a long time. Maybe it's their first time on a bicycle. How could that possibly be? I was on my first bicycle when I was a little tiny kid. But anyway, it does happen. But anyway, staying safe on that new e-bike is kind of a subject that we need to talk about. And before we get into some of those other things that are on my list here. So the things that you need to look at is e-bike safety checklist. everything you need to stay safe. So I just want to point out just a few things in here, because there's the obvious: you wear a helmet, you're visible and you're audible, you check your feet, you know where your pedals are and all that, using caution mounting and dismounting, mirrors, watching your speed and braking. That's all kind of general stuff. But the thing that we kind of forget about sometimes is we forget about the fact that that e-bike is, even though it is a bicycle, it's a lot heavier than your normal bicycle is. So it's got battery weight, it's got motor weight, and because of that, it's a little bit harder to balance them, and it's a little bit harder to control speed and braking on the bike. So those are kind of the two things I really wanted to point out with the e-bike as a good tip, because I know that even though I have a very, very old-fashioned e-bike, it's been around for a few decades, it still is cumbersome in some ways just because of the way the battery is located on the bike. And so it can be a little top-heavy. And you got to be a little careful about that sort of thing, because that can get you in trouble and the bike can tip over. And then when the bike tips over, if you happen to be on it, then you're going to tip over and that's going to be an issue. And even if it doesn't do it when you're on it, like if you've come to a stop and you're getting ready to either rack the bike or walking it somewhere where, and you lose control, it could fall down, it could hit you in the leg, it could hurt you in some way. So you have to be really, really aware of the fact that this thing is not light, and it is going to be a little bit more cumbersome as far as that goes. So you want to definitely pay attention to that sort of thing, because, you know, it could cause a problem. The other thing is that you have to remember, especially if you're new to this whole e-bike thing, is you are no longer, I should say this for all people who bicycle, you're on a vehicle, okay, and you have to pay attention to all the rules of the road of vehicles. Hopefully you do better than yesterday when I was out running errands with my car. I saw two people in a 10-minute period of time run red lights right in front of me. Don't do that. Please don't do that. But these were people that were driving cars and trucks, by the way. The problem with driving is that driving has become just so much less responsible than it used to be. But that's another thing. And I always point it out here on the show because of the fact that I am concerned that not, you know, people are going to get hurt when they're riding their bicycles because of that. And that is going to bring me on to some listener comments, which is going to get us a little bit deeper into the show. So we're going to kick this out and go back over here. And I got a few things here. As a matter of fact, one of our listeners, Don, is listening in right now, and he jumped on the bike tire size comment, and which is great. I love listener comments. And Don says that he had a follow-up. He was concerned about, first of all, he was concerned about the fact that, was I addressing regular cyclists like him, as he identified himself, or, you know, bicycle racers? And no, it's everyone, Don. First of all, it's everybody. Okay, we all fall into the same category here. So on tire sizes, Don said that he went out on a bike ride with a bunch of people recently, and he decided to evaluate what size tires they were on. This is great. It's great information. I love it. And thank you for that, Don. I really appreciate it. So he said on that ride, which was led by a friend of ours, Bill, he surveyed the fellow riders and found out what tire sizes were on their bikes. And he wasn't sure of all of them, but he said Bill was riding on 23C tires still. Bill, got to do something about that. That's like nuts. You don't want to ride on 23s anymore, especially in northeastern Connecticut, of all places. We have, best way to put it, lumpy roads. So you'd want something with a little more protection on there. It'll save you in the long run. But, and you're not doing yourself any favors by riding on 23C tires also. We've proven that, and the wind tunnel tests have proven it. Everything is, it's just, there's no need for it any longer. unless you just don't have the, you know, wherewithal or the funds to buy yourself some fatter tires. But I know you do. But anyway, and then John was riding on 25C still. And again, you know, they may seem faster, they may seem more responsive, but they're not. They're not. You're really, and I noticed that Dave and of course Jim and Cindy and Amy and Garth, they all were riding on 28C tires, as well as Don here, who had commented to me. And then there was just one rider, Jeff, who is riding on 30C tires. And I know why Jeff rides on 30C tires, because he's got this way cool touring bike that's got, you know, it's really, really nice. Jeff's probably the most comforted rider out there because of those 30C tires. So, and as far as a difference in performance, it's not the tires. Guys, not the tires. So should you aim for larger or smaller tire sizes? Definitely not smaller, Don. Definitely not. Larger, sure, you could get something out of that, for sure. That all really depends on whether your frame will take it or not. I'm resurrecting an old Marinoni frame right now, and I think I'm not going to be able to get much further than 28C tires on it by the looks of things. But I will be putting wider tires on, because when I picked it up, it came with like 23 or 25C tires. I think it was a 23 in the front and 25 in the back. And that's just too darn narrow. I need something a little bit wider. So anyway, about that. And last week we also talked about distracted driving and how to pass cyclists. And I commented that I just don't understand what makes people so willing to risk both the cyclist and the driver of the oncoming vehicle, the lives of them, to get to where they're going. Unless you're driving an emergency vehicle on the way to an urgent situation, there's no need to be for this selfish, ignorant behavior. And I got a tag back from Michael, who is a listener, and he said, "I slow down and wait. I do it also if I can't see ahead. Strange. Roads in my area are narrow, but for some reason attract cyclists." So I replied back to him, "Narrow roads are so much safer than the wide ones. Statistics show that wider roads attract a more distracted driver, especially with cell phone usage. The narrow and twisting back roads require drivers to do what they should be doing, driving their cars." And in reference to the town of Canton, this is another comment from another reader, I received positive comments. People were really saying, "Hey, Canton, good job, you know, lowering speed limits. That was a good thing." And I talked about that a little bit on last week's show. A tip of the cycling cap to Canton, Connecticut. How about areas to add on to this and to this idea? How about any areas, okay, that contain crosswalks, anywhere in the state? Reduce all speeds to 20 miles per hour. This is Pedlin' Ron's perfect dream, okay, here. If there's a crosswalk, the speed limit should be 20 miles an hour. I don't care where you are. I don't care where you have to go to. I don't care if you're on a state road. I don't care if you're on a back road. I do care that at 20 miles per hour, the ignorant driver will still not hopefully kill the pedestrian in the crosswalk when they're not looking and hit them when they hit them in the crosswalk, and breaking the law, and the pedestrian actually gets to live another day. So anyway, I'll move on. Enough of that. It's a little ranty, but that's what we do on this show. We definitely do that. So we're going to talk a little bit more about e-bikes. I know I talk about e-bikes a lot on this show, but I just really see this as a really incredibly big answer to the problem that we have on our streets right now, and the safety that we have on our streets right now. And we're also, you know, we're destroying our planet. And so this is a way to kind of slow that down a little bit. I don't know how you feel about the sun coming out every day and about your vegetables growing in your gardens and all that. But, you know, I kind of look forward to it. It's a nice thing. So and also the air being clean at the same time. I think this is all a good thing. So, of course, there are all sorts of articles out there about this. And, you know, we're going to address that. But before I get there, I got to go back to this Fox News thing. Because, you know, the news is supposed to be just that, news. News is not supposed to be a production of entertainment that settles only one class of people or one level of people. And unfortunately, there are different news stations, and it can go far on the right or far on the left, it doesn't seem to matter, that want to invoke some sort of fear or distrust in certain areas. And, you know, if you want to do that, that's great. But once you step over that line and you walk into Ron's world of bicycles, I'm going to react. So here it is. This is from Electrek, which is the electric bike company, and they have an article here, Why Fox News Wants You to Be Afraid of Electric Bikes. So they made a big stink about the fact that there were a number of problems that were happening in New York City, and bicycles that were e-bikes that were plugged into one circuit, and they didn't really get into the details of the story. But anyway, it was a misleading story, and it was entitled How E-Bikes Are Exploding and Killing People. That was their story. So the media giant leaves little room for doubt about just how far they'll go with misdirection to try to scare people away from the fastest growing form of low cost and efficient, effective transportation. It's true. A long-term trend shows that electric bikes sales are skyrocketing. They're outselling electric cars. Hi, Franny. And in some areas, e-bikes are soon to outsell all cars. Gasoline or electric. I think I sense an advertiser problem here. Anyway, gasoline or electric. They're helping replace the tired image of Americans driving their single-occupant SUVs a mile down the road for a gallon of milk. That makes them ripe for Fox News to hold up as some form of boogeyman to scare up their base, a group that is famously resistant to change. And e-bikes are exactly that kind of change that Fox News would vilify. A low-cost technology that helps Americans of all socioeconomic levels get around without clutching dependence on big oil and big auto. There it is. So who advertises on Fox News? Anyway, I said it. So the basis of Fox News' attack on electric bikes is cherry-picked fire data from New York City. And I have talked about this on the show in the past. Yes, there were problems with fires in New York City. And when you took a look at the photos that came from those fires, what it was the overloaded circuits. There were a number of people in this particular tenement that were living there that had all their bicycles down in the basement of this particular building, and there were two electrical outlets available to recharge all of these bicycles. Now, why were they all down there with all of these bicycles? Well, a lot of these people were delivery people. They made their living by delivering food and or anything else that anybody needed in New York City by using their e-bikes. So they were all plugging them into the same plug, and that plug had a circuit breaker on it, and that one had another circuit breaker. I mean, it was an electrical nightmare. It was a fireman's bad dream. It was really not good. So anyway, that's what was happening, and of course, they're overloading the circuits because the building was really not supplied with the proper electricity to be able to handle that. Now, since then, there have been a number of things going on in New York City, and there have been ordinances that are now requiring more charging stations, quote unquote, inside of buildings for people who have e-bikes, which is great. That's really, really, see, it always ends up pushing towards positive change instead of negative. But, you know, Fox has to grab onto this, and they have to make it into a big negative situation and scaring people from ever having an e-bike and going out and buying a car instead of a bicycle, because, you know, cars are so much safer than bicycles. That's a big problem. So Chris says, mishandling of batteries, plain and simple. It is. It's totally that. You know, you really got to be careful. And I'm not just talking about your e-bike. I'm talking about your rechargeable drill, your rechargeable phone, your rechargeable, everything's rechargeable now. And there's a lot of things that are to be said about this, including the fact that you do not mix chargers with appliances or devices. You use the charger that was specifically designed for that device. By making those changes and using the wrong one, you can very easily start a fire. So these are things that, it's a new world. We're learning. We're into the rechargeable world. Things are different. We're using batteries now more so than we're using gasoline. We have battery-powered trimmers for trimming brush and grass outside. We have battery powered chainsaws, and we have battery powered, all sorts of little items. Or lawnmowers are battery powered now. There's a lot of people that are going in this direction. But if you don't use the proper charger for that particular battery, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble. So it's super important that you play by the rules, so to speak. So, anyway, there's a lot of e-bikes that roll around New York City for obvious reasons. It's a much smarter way to get around. And, of course, if you're in delivery business, you are going to be using one of those versus a car or a truck because it's impossible to find a place to park. And the bike is a great answer for that. It really makes a lot more sense. So, anyway, So what you might not know, since it's much less frequently reported, is that most of these electric bikes aren't related to electric bikes at all. They're much cheaper electric scooters. Most of the pictures of these fire aftermaths shows charred husks of cheap Chinese e-scooters, not bicycles. But regardless of the semantics, all right, the underlying concern is this. Why do these batteries catch on fire, and how concerned should the public be? I think I've addressed that to a certain degree. So why can e-bikes sometimes catch on fire? Wrong battery charger. There's a bunch of reasons why. But the key is you stick to what the system that you bought, stay with that system. Don't make a change, because when you cross over, you're possibly going to create a problem or a fire or something. And the other thing is, make sure that your building is up to code, because if it's not up to code, then you could have a problem there. Now, if you use a really good circuit breaker, an extra appliance that plugs into that plug and will actually kick the breaker if you are doing something wrong, then that's a bonus. That really, really helps a lot. So, if your building's not up to code and you're trying to use extension cords and all sorts of crazy things to do your charging with, you're asking for trouble. So you gotta pay attention to that. So, stage one is history. Yeah, we got another bike race going on right now. Hi, Pete. How you doing today? I got your note earlier. Sorry if I interfered with the watching of a bike race with Bicycle Talk. So, does Fox News actually care about transportation? I think that they probably do care about transportation. And there have been other legitimate balance reports from other news organizations about e-bike fires in the same fires. And in the same period, there may have been hundreds of pedestrians that were killed by cars and trucks in the city. Thousands of pedestrians are killed by cars and trucks in the U.S. every year. Okay, dozens. Okay. And that doesn't play into their narrative, though. So it doesn't get covered. It also doesn't get included for reference to understanding the size of the e-bike fire risk. So, you know, this is just sensationalized reporting. It's entertainment TV. Remember, if you're watching specific news programs, they are not necessarily news. They are entertainment. We watch The Daily Show. It's very entertaining. And the Fox News people are extremely critical of The Daily Show because it tends to, you know, be a funny way of looking at the news. Sometimes better reporting than what they do. I won't get into it too much more because I'm sure that the Fox News lawyers will be calling me any moment now to say, you need to be quiet. But anyway, I don't care. Ride a bicycle. Get yourself a nice e-bike. If you need a bike to get yourself around for transportation, it's great basic transportation. You'll barely crack a sweat with it. You can put a rack on the back. You can put panniers on it. You can pull a trailer with it. They're great machines. I think they're great. I have no problem with them. And they fit really well in the current mass market of people that are looking to make an improvement on their lives. And that brings me to a new study proving that e-bikes are pretty darn good for the future of humanity. And this came from our good friends over at Bicycling Magazine. And Mika Ling, who published this back in November of 2023. And it talks about how they're becoming a new norm. E-bikes are lowering demand, more demand on oil than EVs are, okay? So The Conversation, which is a British media point, reported that e-bikes and mopeds are displacing 4 times as much demand for oil as the world's electric cars are at present, due to their staggering uptake in China and other nations where mopeds are a common form of transport. Two-wheeled numbers are booming and only continuing to grow. The on the world's roads last year, there were over 20 million electric vehicles and 1.3 million commercial EVs, such as buses, delivery vans, and trucks. But these numbers of four or more wheeled vehicles are wholly eclipsed by 2- and 3-wheelers. There were over 280 million electric mopeds, scooters, motorcycles, and 3-wheelers on the road last year. Their sheer popularity is already cutting demand for oil by 1 million barrels of oil a day, about 1% of the world's total demand, according to estimates, and that's from the Bloomberg New Energy Finance. When it comes to electric vehicles, they're certainly better for the environment than those that run on gasoline, but they aren't solving some of the other problems that the vehicles pose. They still take up a lot of space on the roads and are many, many, many times for single passengers. They create traffic, right? And they're dangerous for cyclists and pedestrians. Many people assume that if it's an electric vehicle, it's good for the environment. Better, but not perfect. According to the New York Times, most electric cars sold today tend to produce significantly fewer planet-warming emissions than most cars fueled with gasoline. But a lot depends on how much coal is being burned to charge those plug-in vehicles. Where is the source for the electricity? That's a very important thing to look at. And electric grids need to get much better, much cleaner, before electric vehicles are truly emission-free. And that is why I'm actually currently at the end of my hybrid lease on my hybrid car that I do drive, and I'm actually looking at a full electric car because they're trying to, it's funny because you would think that this would be a really, really popular thing. A lot of people would go in that direction, but they are expensive, so there is that. But they are, if you shop around and look, there's actually some incredibly good incentives on them, and so they're having a little trouble moving them off the parking lots of the car dealers because people still want their, you know, dinosaur fuel. Anyway, but it happens. So my goal is to recharge my electric vehicles, both my bicycle vehicles and also other four-wheeled vehicles with the solar panels on my roof. And so, you know, that's the direction I'm looking. But I know not everybody can afford to go that way. And, you know, I am fortunate to be able to do that. So it's becoming clear that the value of e-bikes is it's in short trips. It's the trip down to the grocery store. It's the trip to the gym, you know, ride down to the gym and, you know, get your workout in and then ride home. Now you'll really be tired and you'll get all that good workout. But the e-bike is a great way to do it because you don't really tax your body quite as much. So that's a good thing. It's the running around town, the errands that we run. And we run so many errands. And the first thing we do is we hop in our car. I'm guilty of it. I'm not trying to be perfect here. You know, I am a hypocrite to a certain degree on this one. But, you know, as I look at it, as now I see the weather getting warmer and things are getting a little bit nicer outside, I'm starting to look more at using my bicycle because, you know, it's a more comfortable time to use it. So it's not a terrible way to go, for sure. So anyway, two-wheeled transport is just really, it's a great answer to a big problem that we have right now. And if we can just add another 10% of the vehicles on the road as being e-bicycles or e-related vehicles like that, that makes a huge, huge difference. So anyway, that's it. That's basically all about this new study of that this is really good for the future of humanity. It's a great thing. So we will move on to the next thing on my list, and we will go to why electric bicycles actually give you more exercise than pedal bikes. Now, I'm going to state that this is not for, I have a percentage of listeners, and I know there's a few of them on right now, who are probably looking at electric bikes and kind of poo-pooing them to a certain degree because, you know, I can ride my bike anywhere. And I understand that. And good for you. You're fit. That's great. You're healthy. It's a wonderful thing. And I agree. I agree. Why ride an e-bike when you can just ride a regular bicycle? And good for you for staying fit and staying strong. And I think that's all really, really good. But believe it or not, there are other people out there besides us that would like to get themselves around on bicycles. So study after study has shown that people who ride e-bikes get more exercise than those who ride pedal bikes. Okay, comparing apples to oranges, apples to apples, whatever you want to do here, this is what we're looking at. So the finding grinds the gears of traditional cyclists who seem to hold an us versus them attitude in cycling. Don't do that. Snobbery is not worth it. Shaming is not worth it. But it's a result that's been repeatedly demonstrated across many different countries and cultures. When you actually break down the reasons for that surprising finding, though, it actually makes a lot of sense. Okay, e-bike riders generally ride longer. There you go. Electric bikes, which include a battery and a motor to assist the rider, tend to rack up more miles. On the average, studies have found that e-bike riders typically ride for longer periods of time than pedal bike riders. Not only do they log more hours, they log more miles too. Even though they're getting some pedal assist, they're doing a lot of pedaling and, in fact, a lot more. A major contributing factor comes down to the fact that the electric motor takes some of the pain out of the harder parts of cycling, namely riding, climbing hills and tough starts, but researchers have discovered that when riders find it less grueling, they tend to go on longer rides. A 2019 study of over 10,000 adults across 7 countries found that the metabolic equivalent task minutes per week was measurably higher for electric bike riders than for pedal bike riders. It's because you get on a pedal bike, you haven't been on a bike for a while, and you go, you know what? This is hard because I haven't done this in a long time. You get on the e-bike and you go, that was fun. I think I want to do it again. Another reason for those longer rides comes down to the perceived enjoyment of e-bikes over pedal bikes. Here we go. Researchers have consistently found that e-bike riders tend to report that riding an electric bike is more enjoyable. When that activity is more fun, it leads to more time spent participating in the activity. In the case of riding a pedal-assist e-bike, that means more time spent pedaling and exercising. Is this rocket science? No, this is just obvious. So a 2021 study found positive perceptions towards e-bike riding occurred in most participants, and qualitative analysis included perceptions of commuting with an e-bike as easier and fun, among other positive terms. Of course, riders who use throttle-enabled electric bikes won't reap the same level of benefits as pedal-assist e-bikes, and they still require that you pedal, and though the outdoor benefits are still measurable even when using a throttle. So, yeah, that's a little better for the environment, we'll say that. But e-bike riders tend to use their bikes more often. The studies have also found that e-bike riders tend to ride more consistently. For many riders, their e-bike has become a daily driver type of vehicle, replacing a car for the main commute or daily errands. For others, e-bikes are purely recreational devices, but their increased enjoyment means the riders take them out of the garage more often than pedal bikes. And tough terrain is obviously easier on an e-bike. That makes a big difference. There's just a whole bunch of reasons why. And so the statistics are all showing that people that get e-bikes, versus having had, or, maybe had the opportunity to ride a pedal assist bicycle, the e-bikes just get ridden more. They just get ridden more. So this is a good thing. Let's accept it. Okay, let's go with it. This is what we're going to be dealing with now. We're going to be out there riding our bikes, all you purists, all my lycra-clad friends, and I am one of those. You're going to see these e-bikes buzzing down the road, and here's my word to you. When you have an e-bike going buzzing down the road and they happen to buzz by you because they're able to go a little bit faster than you are, just hop on their wheel. Draft them. Have some fun. You know, I mean, I did this years ago. I went out to Martha's Vineyard, and there's just mopeds everywhere. They rent mopeds out there, and they're all over the place. And I was there with my ex-wife and her sister, and we were riding around Martha's Vineyard on this little, you know, vacation jaunt for the day. And these mopeds kept going by us, and they're buzzing by us, and they're beeping their little beep, beep, beep horns. And I just kept looking back and looking back. And Kathy finally, she looked at me and she said, just go ahead, you know, because she could see I was getting really impatient with it. And so this couple came by on a moped that could hold two people, and they went buzzing by me, and the guy just laid on his little horn, and it was just really irritating. I just shook my head, and I hopped on his wheel. So I'm going down the road. I got a computer on my bike. I'm looking at my computer. I'm going, you know, 25 miles an hour, and I'm sitting on the wheel, and there's no shaking me off, not with a moped, because he couldn't accelerate fast enough to get rid of me because he's just on a moped. So I just sat in, you know, just sat back there for a while. And then within a matter of about 3 or 4 minutes, the passenger on the back turned around and she looked at me and she went, oh, there's a guy here. And I am locked on him. I am not letting go. So I got a great little motor pace going, and I'm scooting down the road, and it's a whole lot of fun. And I think it was actually on a bike path. It wasn't even on a road at first. And then eventually it became a road because the bike path ended. But there was a big hill coming up. And if you've ever been out to Martha's Vineyard, there's a place on the far end of the island, and it's called Gayhead. And it's a beautiful overlook, but there's a long rise to get up to Gayhead. And as we were heading up there, and I'm still locked onto these guys, they started to bog down because there's two riders on this moped and they couldn't keep the speed up. So I did the obnoxious thing and I put it up into a bigger gear and I got out of the saddle and I jammed by them. And as I went by them, I looked over and said, "You really should get yourself one of these. It's a lot better." And I rode away from them up the hill. And I know that was arrogant, that was stupid, that was classic Lycra clad weirdo doing it, but boy, it felt good. I gotta say, it just felt real good. So anyway, so if the e-bike goes by you and you're feeling like a little upset about it, don't be upset. Hop on the wheel. Stop on the wheel. Take them out for a ride. And then, you know, pound on them a little bit in different places, but don't attack them on the hills. I'll warn you right now, because you know what? They don't really let up on the hills. They go pretty good on the hills. And a lot of those e-bikes will actually be able to travel at, you know, up to 20 miles an hour. Some of them go all the way up to 28 miles an hour. So just use it to your advantage. Call it a good day on the training bike. It's a good thing. Anyway, that's my shout out to my poor Lycra friends that don't like e-bikes. Anyway, what else do I have on here? So, so I put the site up on my Facebook page, and it is, see if I can find it. Do I have it up here to look at? And it was, nope, not there. So anyway, vehicle miles traveled, otherwise known as VMTs. So there's a smarter modes calculator, smarter mobility options for decarbonization, equity, and safety. And it's kind of interesting. If you want to go take a look at it, it's a calculator that is going to give you information. Come on, if I could just get it to pop up here, but I guess I can't. Anyway. It's just kind of a cool little calculator, which shows you why, we should all be looking in the direction of different ways of traveling, so to speak. So here it is. It comes from a site that has all sorts of interesting stories about different forms of transportation and ways that we could be more efficient, and it enables states to quantify the emissions, health, and cost-saving benefits of pursuing vehicle miles traveled and in reduction, a complementary to the strategy of vehicle electrification. So this explores how combinations of vehicle electrification and VMT reduction can reduce pollution from the transportation center, improve health and safety, avoid costs, and optimize power generation as compared to business as usual policies in all of the 50 states. So it's kind of a neat thing, but it's basically given a state, two, an electrification scenario, and three, a VMT reduction scenario. The calculator estimates the following avoided events and their associated savings: avoided tailpipe and charging emissions, avoided automobile operations costs, safety benefits, avoiding crash fatalities and injuries, health benefits from physical activity, avoided inactivity fatalities, health benefits from cleaner air, avoided air pollution fatalities, and avoided congestion, time, and costs. So what if your state achieved a 20% VMT reduction? And there's a map on this site, which is kind of cool. You click on your state and you can take a look at it and you can see where you're at right now as far as your COT emissions. It's just kind of interesting, and it contains state-specific and national data, and results may inform long-term program planning, particularly when estimating the potential benefits or the size of the prize for reducing climate pollution and expanding transportation options in a given state. So check it out. It's kind of cool. It's kind of fun. And I did put it to the Bicycle Talk Facebook page, so you can click on the site and you can find your way around to that. So it's kind of fun. It's just a neat thing, and amazing what sometimes fascinates me. But there's a new book coming out. Okay, I'm going to add this in here. I think we still have some time. Yeah, we're still okay. A Visual Celebration of the Beauty and Lure of Bicycle Culture by renowned cycling journalist Peter Flax. The book is called Live to Ride. It's an ode to cycling from one of the most respected of cycling journalists. The bicycle is one of the greatest inventions in human history. It can literally transport you to places you want to go, to your school, your office, to the summit of a local hilltop, to some objective in your pursuit of fitness. But it can also do more than that. A bicycle can also transport you to an entirely different mindset, a place where you can embrace the unexpected and live in the moment. People are drawn to riding for many of the same reasons: to test themselves, find themselves, and express themselves, to find some peace and beauty, to inject fun and adventure into their busy lives. Anyway, I'm interested in this book. This looks kind of interesting. This particular gentleman was he was with Bicycling Magazine for a while. He's a celebrated cycling journalist, and he shows us how cycling can be inclusive, that all riders are connected in various yet similar ways, organized by theme, each one exploring what Flax believes are the shared reasons why people ride: adventure, speed, utility, nature, competition, and self-expression. And in each chapter, he has interviews and profiles with a diverse list of famed riders, both legendary and contemporary. Also included is the Ultimate Destination Ride, a map based on that chapter's theme and the insider info like one perfect bike and the essential gear that a rider needs to know about. Modern and sleek in design, filled with mix of photography and illustration. So I'm looking forward to this. It looks like kind of a cool little book. And it's called Live to Ride. And it is by cycle journalist Peter Flax, who was at one time an editor of Bicycle Magazine, I believe. So anyway, thought I would shout it out. And now we're going to go on to a few other things here. We still have a little bit of time, looking at my timer. Traffic engineering in the United States. So this comes from our friends over at Streets Blog, and I passed across this one a couple of weeks ago, and it's just, you know, it points out American engineering and where we're at today and what we're doing, and how the Dutch are looking at us, and pointing out the root problem with American Department of Transportation. It's a problem with the American DOTs, and it starts with the education and licensing of engineers. Yeah, we're teaching people the wrong way to go, and we need to kind of get off track on that. So this particular person, Stephen Burr, he studied civil engineering at Sacramento State, and he graduated in 2019. He went to work for a San Francisco-based consultancy, but his mother was German, and he'd spent quite a bit of time living in German and Dutch cities. Something about the Bay Area in San Francisco's multi-lane roads didn't make him feel right. So he was thinking about going into transportation engineering, but wanted to go to Europe because they're really good at this stuff. And then COVID happened, and he got stuck over there. And so he decided to work from home. And he said that he just spent a lot of he rented an Airbnb in The Hague, and he just worked from there for what he thought would be a few weeks, but it turned into months, and eventually he realized that Europe was where he wanted to stay for the simple reason that he wanted to live a life that wasn't beholden to the automobile to get around, and he wanted to feel safe when he was going for a walk or on a bike ride. He learned Dutch, he got a new job as a transportation engineer, and he got a unique insight into the fundamental differences about American and Dutch transportation planners and engineers that are educated and how that contributes to the high death rate and low cycling and walking rates in the United States. In fact, a fact that was apparently disputed in recent Vision Zero reports, but more on that in the future. The American transportation system is fundamentally broken because transportation engineering is a specialty within civil engineering when it's really a separate field. They think transportation engineering is just where the paint goes. They don't know about transportation infrastructure. And that is the difference in our engineering. Anybody up at the University of Connecticut right here listening to me about this, maybe there needs to be a new transportation engineering department and possibly a course load that would head in that direction. We can get more educated people out there paying attention to how we can re-engineer our roads and streets and make them safer for everyone who is transporting themselves. So anyway, according to this gentleman, the Dutch have figured it out. We hear all these reports all the time. We hear about people like, you know, Pete Buttigieg coming back from a mayor summit that was over in Amsterdam. And he comes back and he goes, oh my God, I need to change my city, when he was a mayor. And a lot of people are seeing the benefits. And the big benefit that a lot of people don't see, and until they really study it, is the financial benefit involved. All your little shops and all your little cafes all of a sudden are bustling with people because it's easy to get there. It's not hard to find a place to park. It makes a huge difference in a number of things, including lifestyle, which lifestyle is the answer. It really is. Lifestyle, having a good lifestyle reduces stress. It makes you healthier. It makes you happier. It's just, and it's all starts right back to good old pedaling, Ron and the bicycle. What it's all about, folks. And, you know, it's interesting because the people who are in my son's age group, classically known as millennials, discovered this by accident. And I say by accident because they got out of their college education with no jobs. And they moved to cities and then they figured it out right there. So anyway, I'm going to move on to the next thing here because we're running out of time and we're getting towards the end here. And I got to throw a few things out here. And here's a biggie right here. The classics. The Milan San Remo. Did you see the Milan San Remo? Tadej Pogacar just like launched this attack, which was incredible. And of course, the who's who went with him. And the next thing you know, it was a breakaway and it was really exciting. If you didn't get a chance to watch it, watch one of the, maybe some of the highlights, and you'll be able to see the way it all ended. But Jasper Philipsen wins the fastest ever Milan-San Remo Classic, and a classic photo finish. And that's what it came down, photo finish. And it was like right across the line. All these like extremely well-known riders. Pogacar ended up third, but it was, like I said, a photo finish. So really, really cool stuff. It's one of the classics. We got more classics coming up. The other thing I wanted to point out in the bicycle racing world is Peter Sagan. So Peter, back in, geez, when was this? February. He had received a heart ablation surgery after hitting an unprecedented 200 beats per minute during a recent mountain bike race. And that was back in February. And this, just 3 hours ago, as I was preparing the show this morning, I got another feed that said, Peter Sagan undergoes second heart procedure as the Olympics are nearing. So returning to training after his first operation reveals further heart rhythm issues. So my thoughts are out to Peter Sagan. We love Peter Sagan. Peter Sagan was one of the characters of bicycle racing. He was very entertaining when he was racing his bike, and he's still racing his bike, but he's, you know, struggling with some heart issues.
Did he say what his diagnosis is?
And I don't have that information. Right. You would have to look that up. Right. But anyway, that's what's going on with him right now. It's really unfortunate, and I just wanted to put out Bicycle Talk's best wishes to Peter Sagan. I'm going to move on to our events page here because there's all sorts of stuff going on right now. Hey, Chris, are you racing over at the Frozen Four at all? I don't know if, you know, I know you do that bike racing thing, so I was just checking in to see. Anyway, excuse me, friend?
Whenever you're ready, I've got
you. You need to come over to the mic then, please, if you could. And then you can tell me exactly what's going on with Peter Sagan.
Okay.
What you got?
All right. He's only 34 years old. He's 30 freaking 4 years old. The same age as your son.
Right.
And now he's like in, you know, looking at retirement age. That's so young.
Okay.
He has anomalous tachycardia with a high ventricular response.
All right. And?
Yeah. So
that's not good.
So it's so tachycardia just means a fast rate.
Mm-hmm.
And his ventricles are responding to that a lot. It doesn't say he has atrial fibrillation. 200 beats per minute heart rate. That's way too high.
That's like a bee.
Yeah.
Or a bird. It's really, really high. Yeah. Yeah.
I know. And so that's why he had the ablation. Hopefully it brings, so he's had two ablations already?
Yeah. Yeah, this is his second one. Just 3 hours ago, they mentioned
he needs
it. So
Hawthorn and magnesium. Yeah.
See,
and taurine
he needs the radio naturopath. That's what he needs. Yep. He needs to talk to Fran. Fran could help him out. Yeah. So anyway, back to events. Frozen Four Training Series is still going on. It started March 3rd, and it's every weekend in Farmington, Connecticut. It is a training race, an early season road race. It's very safe because it's on an enclosed course in an industrial park, and that's cool. The People for Bikes Leadership Conference is in Tucson, Arizona, the 26th through the 29th of this month, presented by the People for Bikes. The Handmade Show is going to be in Australia, June 28th through the 29th, and here in the United States on August 23rd through 25th. Looking for a trip to Portland? That might be fun. The Natchog Epic is coming up this weekend by Domestique Events. I will be there. Peddlin' Ron will be there. There's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. There's an 82-mile ride, which is currently sold out with a waiting list. There is an 850-rider limit on this gravel ride. As of last week, it was 732 pre-registered. As of this morning, it was 772 pre-registered. If you are planning on doing this event, you need to register now, and you will not get into the long event unless you are female, only it's pretty much closed out. There's a 82-mile ride, a 60-mile ride, a 45-mile ride, and a 32-mile ride. So anyway, and this is in Thompson, Connecticut. It's on Bike Ridge. The Ride of Silence will be May 15th, rain or shine. I'll talk more about that later in future shows as we get closer to the event. It is something that I am working with a friend of mine on, and we are expecting a good crowd this year. And then join us for the Ride the East on June 8th, 2024, which starts at Gilson House Museum in Willimantic, and explore the East Coast Greenway Alliance Trails. There's a 48-mile and an 18-mile ride. Okay, that's it. Finishing points. Fox News. Now you hate e-bikes. Good. Good for you. Great. You need to hate something. Get over yourselves. Anyway, anything for a news story. E-bikes will change the world. Pay attention. Shout out and best wishes to Peter Sagan. And, oh, we do love those listener comments. Please keep them coming. And why are the Dutch smarter? Pay attention, U.S. Department of Transportation. So 2024, more miles, ride and commute to work, around town, better fitness, or simply enjoying bike rides so you can take more take in more by slowing down and smelling the roses. I'm going to say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, the price of gas, and the lack of places to safely ride your bike and join the revolution of change. Hey, take a day, park the car or truck, ride your bicycle instead. You just might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of this station. Thank you so much for listening. This is Peddlin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thank you so much for listening. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!